All right, Trevor, let's talk about episode...
I've lost track.
No, it's
you know?
No, yeah, I do know, because our advisors are telling us we're in a new season.
Okay.
So this is season three,
episode two. Okay.
I think, and this is spontaneous, let's call it Canna Curious.
Yeah, no, that's a great title.
That's
and,
a great
and it's going to come up, be obvious late, right away why we went with that, but I love that for a title.
Canna Curious. We should also advertise before we get started on our Canna Curious discussion with Mr. Dave Berg.
Yeah.
From Strain Print, is we belong to a group of other podcasters.
We do. The Cannabis Media Collective. They've got all sorts of neat things. What have I heard lately? Some more stock tips from there's been all sorts. There was a trip to Toronto that Michael Peterson did and interviewed a guy who was doing cannabis tourism in Toronto. So that was another neat one.
Yeah, there's about five or six of us all in this collective, and you can listen to it to us individually or as a collective.
Yeah, just sign up for the Cannabis Media Collective whenever you get podcasts. It's good.
So I've been online looking at Stats Canada. Cannabis use in the past 3 months, so the last quarter of 2018. Cannabis use in the past 3 months by provinces. Well, Nova Scotia.
Are they winning?
They're winning. 21% of Nova Scotians have tried cannabis in the last 3 months of 2018. Manitoba.
I don't know. I'm going to guess.
Oh, you're going to like this.
13? Lucky 13?
Well, a little higher, but you know what? British Columbia, 15.3.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have guessed that higher.
I'm not sure. Well, I'm not sure how many of them have memories. Oh, that's Cheech and Chong. I always don't want to do that. But in Manitoba, we have 15.1.
Wow. So getting close to 1 in 5.
Well, it's also like we're close to Manitoba, BC. As many Manitobans have admitted to smoking cannabis as British Columbians.
Well, yes, I'm not doubting Stats Can, but they also sound like still hard numbers to get because not everybody really wants to admit to that in a survey because of the still ongoing stigma.
It seems low to me, you know, it just seems low to me. But again, we'll have to see in the year's time. 19.4% of Canadian men have smoked cannabis. Again, that seems low to me. Didn't more people say they were smoking before legalization?
Yeah, maybe this is people who've actually got legal stuff. But again, no, but it's interesting that, again, somewhere around 1 in 5 of us are trying cannabis or using it regularly or something along those lines. Again, sky hasn't fallen. Legalization has been okay, and hopefully the stigma is fading.
So it's interesting. They're keeping stats of 15-year-olds. Legalization is 18 by federal, but they're still trying to figure out how many kids. So I don't know why they don't just go 15 to 18 and then go 18 to 24. But the biggest group is 15 to 24.
Again, not shocking.
No. And my group represents 10%. So the baby boomers are 10%. And after 65, 5.2. Interesting.
What is? So before we get into just that interesting anecdote that came up last week, speaking even older than you, because it goes well into the strain print stuff, there's still a disconnect in pharmacies. So one of my colleagues last week got called into the private counseling office by, you know, long time patient in his 70s. A few medical conditions like we all get when we're 70s, but nothing too exciting. And he called him in and closed the door because he pulled out this thing from Tweed, our local store, which is fine, you know, but he was just, he'd gone in, I'm not saying anything bad about the bud tender. The bud tender, when the pharmacist went over this, it was a reasonable thing for him to give this 70-year-old guy, but the bud tender has no idea about this guy's medical conditions, the medication he's on, and the patient, frankly, didn't really know all the right questions to ask. What he wanted was something to help him sleep.
Right.
So it was good that he eventually brought this down to the pharmacy and had one of my colleagues go over it with him, but... Again, I know I'm sounding like a broken record. Shouldn't this be in a pharmacy? And as we're going to get to shortly, and shouldn't I have access to some wonderful software from someone like SprainPrint to help people use it?
You seem awfully kind of curious.
I am kind of curious, yes.
So let's talk about kind of curious. We are interviewing Dave Berg, who is the president and chief technology officer for StrainPrint. Obviously, we wear it on our sleeve. We are big proponents, very excited for Strain Print as a business and what they offer us as clinicians.
But I had no idea all the stuff they were into.
Yeah. He goes on about how they've grown. Now, this is our advertising. The Strain Print does support Reefer Madness, and we appreciate that. But this is a story beyond the marketing. This is a story about a tool, about a business, about statistics, about cannabis, how people use it.
Yeah, from here to Israel.
It's a deep, rich story. So let's get Dave to introduce himself and like basically the first part of the interview. I just had to listen. So listeners, listen to Mr. Dave Berg.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast.
Here's the most open-ended question I can ask you about Strain Print and your what you're building here, this community you're building is, how do you help people use cannabis better?
Helping people to use cannabis better is really fundamental to what we are and what we do. We all started off as patients, entering into what it was the ACMPR or way back when the MMPR program. And we were patients that were looking to find out how to treat a variety of maladies, whether it was for us individually or for family members. And when we went to go and speak to physicians or other caregivers about cannabis as a viable option, they really didn't have any knowledge about cannabis or specifically strains or compositions and how they relate to the human condition. You know, we went and we did a lot of secondary research to see if we could find research, and there really wasn't anything of good quality out there. So what we do along a patient's journey is we give them the ability to log their interactions as it pertains to their malady. And they begin to learn what treatments are working well for them, what products, administration methods, dosing. And we provide that data back to the patient in a visualization in the app so they can learn as they go. What we do is we take that data, and that is rolled up anonymously into a larger database. And what that database allows people like doctors and pharmacists and researchers and clinicians to do is to analyze patient interactions so that they can make the right recommendations. So if you go to a pharmacy, as an example, and you were to say, I'd like a product that is going to work well for my arthritis in my knees, but I don't want to be drowsy, what product would you recommend? We have the data that allows or enables that practitioner to make a recommendation based on the experience of our users. So that's really what it's about is we leverage the power of our users, give them a voice, and then when we group those voices together, they help formulate opinions by presenting the data to the decision maker.
Perfect. You know, we're making a huge assumption, and I think it's fair to our listeners that they understand your application, that you've developed this Strain Print app that goes on your phone, your smartphone, and you can trace and track your use of cannabis. So if people are sort of jumping into this episode, I refer you back to episode season one, episode six, The Advocates, where we first were introduced to Strain Print. So I want to talk a little bit about that because I didn't have an opportunity last time we talked was about the statistics. Essentially, because I see from your work up on the page that you're the stats guy. You know the software and the hardware.
Yeah, I'm the resident nerd.
Okay.
In the founder team.
So let's be a little nerdy now. As a nurse, and Trevor, both of us jumped on this product because we saw how it would help us as practitioners in our field to help and guide people, but some critics might say you're taking subjective information from somebody who is inputting their data. So how do you take subjective data and quantify it and say this is relevant? I'm going to just qualify by saying, you know, someone's just smoked a joint, man. They're high. How are they going to add that data? You know, how do they qualify that?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's one that we get asked quite often by physicians and people that come from a clinical background. So being a nurse practitioner or being a pharmacist, these are things that we'd have to deal with regularly. So the challenge with cannabis as a medication, aside from the fact that it's been restricted for almost a century, is that as a result of that restriction, there hasn't been a lot of study about the interactions. If you look at a typical drug and the way that it's formulated or compounded, it goes through a clinical vetting process. And the goal of that process is to deliver a standardized molecule to market that's replicable effect to a large population of users, along with the side effects. Cannabis as a medicine is different because it's a plant-based medicine. It changes as the plant evolves, as it mutates, as you have different growing conditions, you have different genetics, you have different topologies of growing. This all affects the outcome of the medicine. So a patient typically would not have the understanding of their cannabis the way we see it. When we look at cannabis as a medicine, we're looking at it not just in terms of its genetic category, its funny name, its producer, and its THC or CBD rating. What we're actually looking at is the other chemical composition of the plant, being the terpenes and the cannabinoids. So when we're looking at the way people use this medicine, they are self-medicating. It's not as if you would go to a doctor and he's going to say, take these pills twice a day, make sure you have a full stomach. Patients are medicating on their own as they feel that they need it. So there's no way for a clinician to really observe the use of the product, let alone a standardized product that has a single composition. Because of that, you have to observe the use of the product in real life. And we've got tens of thousands of patients that are using StrainPrint regularly. So when we're looking at the behaviors, someone's going to rate the severity of their symptom before they start logging. Like, let's say I've got inflammation in my knee. I've got a lot of joint pain. It's about a 7. I'm going to then tell the application, the mobile app, that I'm using a product. And the products that you're able to use are products that we've cataloged from the adult recreational and ACMPR legal markets. And then we ask you how you're going to administer it. Are you going to smoke it? Are you going to vape it? Are you eating it in a cookie? Are you taking a gel cap? We're going to ask you how much you took, and then we're going to wait for a period of time. And the period of time that we wait is dependent on the method of administration. If you're going to smoke it or vape it, we're going to ask you in 20 minutes once onset effect has occurred, and we're going to ask you a simple question. How is your joint pain now? Are you less aware of your pain? We'll also ask them at that time to report any of their emotive outcomes. Do they have a dry mouth? Are their eyes red? Are they feeling giggly? Are they talkative? These are all things that we gather. So the data that we gather is very relevant to the situation. And I would actually hazard to say that it's more accurate because we're gathering it at the time rather than gathering it after the fact. So,
and you're gathering it from the actual individual patients who are entering the data into the app.
Yeah, so this is an individual patient experience that we then combine to other like patients. So if I was looking at arthritis in the knees and we were talking about joint pain as an example, the way I would look at that as a statistician or a healthcare practitioner would be, show me all the 40-something-year-old males that are living in Ontario that are making use of medical cannabis to treat knee inflammation or joint pain, and then group the products based on most frequent use by number of users and number of users. And then we also ascribe an efficacy rating. So whenever we look at a product and its use, it's a weighted average based on the population use of a given product. So it actually evens out as we remove outliers and do very statistical methods.
So I've used the app. I'm familiar with the app, and there's an awful lot of data I put in there, you know, in regards to mm-hmm. how I've used it, how many puffs, or how much I've rubbed on my shoulder, or how many cookies I've eaten, how many grams per cookie. Now, if you put all that data into a relationship database, a huge Excel database, you can extract a whole lot of data. Like you can, like I said, if there are Dauphin users, you could easily go, okay, well, let's see how many people in Dauphin are using X strain from X stores. So you actually can offer something not just to the patients, you're offering something back to the licensed producers.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, the only difference there is we've grown beyond an Excel database, and we have an enterprise grade system. But that's exactly what we're doing. So the way the system is set up by Health Canada, resellers or producers are not allowed to make representations about their product. They're allowed to represent them as a genetic, as a product name, as a batch or a lot, but they really can't tell you if one is good for one or, you know, one malady or another. Whereas when we look at and roll it up, we have a lot of data about, and this is all, by the way, fully confidential. So it's HIPAA, PIPEDA, and FIPA compliant, which means we meet or exceed the needs, confidentiality needs of Health Canada and various government entities. But what we do when we roll all that stuff up with that in mind is it gives you a very clear picture of what various consumers are buying and why they're buying it.
Yeah, so
if we were to, yeah.
No, again, just so I'm just trying to make it so as myself walking into a store, I choose, you know, I talk to the bartender and choose X flower because the budtender recommends it. I take it home, put it into the app, and realize, you know, that didn't work as well as I thought it did. So I put the information into the app. It goes back into the cloud. You pick it up, and you start realizing, you know, bubble gum Kush doesn't work very well for arthritis, but boy, a lot of people are getting a lot of hits on the Pineapple Express. Now, I'm just throwing those names out. But so that's what you can do with this data. You can say what's not working and what is working.
That's exactly what it is. And we actually we give patients access to that recommendation data or that statistical data through the Explore section of the app. So if you're canna curious or new to cannabis or you're an existing patient and you want to start treating for a different malady or symptom flare, you can actually go into the app and get recommendations, and we'll recommend, you know, the top rated flower as well as oils that are being used by patients like you in a similar situation.
Now, you get away with doing that because essentially it's not really your data, it's your client's data. So what you're doing as a business isn't promoting a strain of cannabis or even promoting cannabis. What you're doing is providing information.
That's exactly right. We're like, I always tell people, we're a longitudinal study. We're an academic study that, you know, our goal, in addition to supporting academics, is to also help the industry supply chain, growers, pharmacy, formularies, to better understand how they can make products to meet the changing needs of their consumers. That's
a wonderful segue into the study component of this interview. I just want to nail a couple of other things down first. When we look at the choices you have, the Pineapple Express, the Hubba Bubba, where do you get those? Do you actually go to... Now, you said ACMPR growers. So before legalization, you actively solicited from people who were part of the program, or did they come to you for what they were growing?
Well, I mean, thankfully, because we're in Canada, Canada's the ideal area to study, you know, interaction because of the processes put in place by the government. What we actually do is, as patients, or in the early days, what we would do is we would sign up to a licensed producer under the program, and the producer would publish to the patient the composition of the products they were buying. So compliance with what they are reporting changes from producer to producer. But it's becoming more relevant. So you're starting to see producers publish, you know, how much terpinolene is in a given strain, or how much beta-caryophyllene is in a strain. So when we look at a strain, we translate the human name, which is the Pineapple Express, down to its chemical constituents. So the idea is always to make it easy for a patient, but then to draw the relevant correlations when we're studying it. And that is really about the chemicals. So initially we started manually scraping it. And as customers have come online to actually utilize the data for decision support, they've started providing their data for their products into the system.
So after October 17th, 2018, you now, as a business, could go to the, I guess I'm going to call them LPs, but the recreational shops. So are you now adding those strains into StrainPrint as well?
We absolutely are. We have currently in the system, we have support for adult recreational products that are available through standard retail. And we also have all the medical products that are available either direct from licensed producer or through channels like Shoppers Drug Mart that are coming online. So the idea is we don't delineate between a recreational product or a medical product. They're essentially two different supply chains. But essentially, you could have a medical patient that's using a recreational product to treat a symptom because it works well for them. So we need to make sure that we cover both supply chains. Currently today, we have over 1,500 legal products in the system that are being tracked against.
1,500 strains, so different species of cannabis flower or...
Yeah, well, flower or oil.
Oils, but product.
Those are the legal ones.
No wonder
we also have over 17,000 illicit products as well.
No wonder the medical industry is having such a tough time understanding this medicine. So your product, we are fans. I mean, when Trevor and I first saw your product months ago, we just saw how it was. And we sat down and said, these guys are going to grow and grow and grow. And so let's talk a little bit about the growth. I got so much. I'm going to backtrack. I want to talk about a little bit about populations. Now, I was listening to another podcast. You are primarily in a woman's market, are you not? Most of your clients are women, which I find interesting because today I'm on the Stats Canada webpage and 19% of males in Canada say they've smoked or done cannabis within the last 3 months of 2018, whereas 11% of the women. So obviously more men are consuming cannabis in Canada, but you have more women using StrainPrint.
Well, I think that comes down to the genesis of StrainPrint and where it came from. I mean, Stephanie Karasik, who's our founder and our chief creative officer, she came about the idea, you know, she's a mom living in Toronto and she was struggling with PTSD. And, you know, she went out to seek a solution from her doctor. And that actually led to the creation of the journal, which later evolved into StrainPrint. So it actually came from the mind of a very bright female. And we've been fortunate enough to surround ourselves with some very strong females that are passionate about care. That's reflected in our user base. Over 52% of our users are female.
I will tell you,
and I would, like, it,
Oh, I was just going to say, I was going to tell you that validates just the fact that you're able to tell me that more females are using your app, your strain print app, validates for me, because in the clinical space, women tend to be a little bit more interested in their health than men. So having more women track their use of cannabis, to me, anecdotally, makes sense. So I'm not surprised by it. I think it's interesting. I think it validates strain print.
Well, the other thing beyond that, I absolutely agree that women are more engaged on the platform in terms of the quality of the data, but we also start to see other interesting things. As an example, women don't like to smoke product. They prefer to vape product. Women are also larger users of processed oils over men. Most men prefer to actually smoke joints. And they tend to they use oil less. So we start to see differences in the treatment. The other thing that we see in females specifically is as females age and their hormonal level changes, their response to various strains of cannabis change dramatically. So it's not the type of thing where you have one strain that's going to work for you for the rest of your life. As the plant changes and your body changes, your interaction with the plant will change. So you need to be mindful of that. And this is something we've only been able to see because we've been observing the behavior, you know, over the last 2 years.
Wow, that is rather interesting.
Some of the things are really interesting. Yeah. So yeah, and the other thing that we're doing with females, you know, because of who we are and our DNA, is we are doing an international study on endometriosis with a partner in Israel, actually a couple of partners, Lumiere Labs, Ginnica, and also with Tel Aviv University, specifically to study endometriosis in Canada and in Israel and the interaction.
Wow. And so, again, doesn't that validate? Because Israel is the mecca of cannabis research. So
yeah, there's a lot of cannabis rock stars in Israel, that's for sure.
Again, another validation for you guys. Earlier, I was talking about how you've grown in the 6 months since we've been aware of you and tracking you. You have a community online. You're able to provide statistics to clinicians and to LPs. What would you like to talk about first? There's so much you could share with us how you've grown from just the app.
I think one of the things that we're most excited about, aside from the app, is our community. If we're talking about patients, there's a variety of sites out there that provide a lot of ratings, like whether it's Yelp or TripAdvisor, like ratings for products, but they don't really allow patients to get into the dialogue that they want to get. They don't have peers that they can talk to in a safe environment where they're not going to be judged or spammed or what have you. Originally, we tried to do this on Facebook with a Facebook group, but we found that Facebook was getting in the way of us having the discussion because they, you know, they're hosted in the U.S. and federally it's illicit. So we went and we developed our own platform. We spent about 6 months developing this for patients. And what it is it's integrated with the mobile application. So if you already have the app, you can log into community. It's one sign-on. And it's the companion to Strain Print. So this is where you can go and ask questions about your treatment. There's a variety of forums that have been set up. We have private groups. It has its own messaging system built into it. So if you want to securely communicate with other patients that are treating similar situations to you, you can do so in a safe environment. So we set this up and we launched it towards the end of last year, and the community is growing exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dialogue about cannabis use and how you can be mindfully medicated.
It's a nice resource for people because there are lots of questions. What's the average age in your community in using Strain Print?
The largest cohort is actually between 30 and 38. And hold on, I can actually, as we're having a chat, I can pull up some stats. So in terms of our breakout, about 20% of our audience is between 18 and 27. 38% is between 28 years old and 37 years old. 25% of it is between 38 and 47. And then the remainder, the remaining 21% is from 48 up.
So it's the 30-somethings that are enjoying using it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people in that area. If you look from 28 to 47, that's really the bulk of our data set right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think one of the most promising areas for cannabis as a medicine is specifically in elder care. As we all age, our dependence on pharmaceuticals increases, and that has a cost to the patient's physical well-being as it pertains to side effects and managing the side effects. It also has an impact to the healthcare practitioner as well as you know, insurance companies and drug companies. So if we can understand cannabis as a medicine, there's a variety of really good applications as people age. It's a more cost-effective medication in some cases, less invasive. So we need to understand how it can properly be used. It's not a magical pill, but it is definitely a very valuable tool in the medicine cabinet.
But I would imagine some of the statistics. How long has strain print been in use? How long has the app been available?
So the app, we started about 2 years ago, we launched the app.
You don't really have a lot of time yet to see trends, but in 20 years from now, you'll be able to follow a cohort and see how they have changed through cannabis or how cannabis has changed for them.
Exactly.
So, I mean, in 2 years, I imagine right now, 2 years, you've got did I hear correctly, a million data points?
No, well, a million complete interactions.
What does that mean? That means 1 million people going through a use of strain print app?
So that's 1 million recorded sessions. So that means an identified user with a date of birth, a gender, a set of conditions, a set of symptoms that has logged a symptom flare, used a product, told us the dosing that they used, told us how they felt after onset occurred, and then also reported their side effects.
Wow.
So we've done that a million times.
So now you can take that and split it down to how many people from America, how many people from Australia, how many people from Canada, how many countries you're involved with?
So currently we have strain print up and running in Canada and the U.S. I'd say about, 90% of our data is generated in Canada. But in terms of users of the data for decision support and research, we've got customers in Colombia. We've got customers throughout the U.S. We've got customers throughout Canada. We've got customers in Israel. We also have the European Union coming online very soon with Germany in the way. And we're also in various discussions pertaining to the Australian market as well.
How about Uruguay? Are you down there? The other legal country?
We're not down there yet, but I do like the sun and nice weather, so you may be able to twist my arm.
No, I was going to say too, I'm a cheap traveler. If you need somebody to go and scope something out, just let me know. I'll get my backpack and off I go.
We can Airbnb it together.
Well, I was going to couch surf, but that's a couple more quick questions for you. Did I give you enough time to talk about the studies? The endometriosis, I'm sorry, I cut you off. Is there more you wanted to say about that study?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So the endometriosis study that we're conducting is an international study. So it's been designed with leading gynecologists as well as researchers in the space. And it will run in Israel and Canada. The goal of the study is to analyze patient behavior for females that are suffering from endometriosis-related flares, and to understand which strains of cannabis provide the highest level of relief. Our goal after collecting that data is going to be to formulate next-generation therapeutics that we can then also trial on the platform. So we have the ability to conduct a clinical type study on StrainPrint. That's a function that is not typically seen by the average consumer, but doctors and clinics across the country do use StrainPrint to track patient interaction.
You've just quantified it for me. So again, I'm going to walk through this. So you've got doctors and PhDs and doctorates who have a cohort of patients that they're studying who have endometriosis. They have their control group, they have their sick group. Then they give a certain group some cannabis and they say, we want you to ask you some questions. We're going to put those answers into this app called StrainPrint. And then we'll go to the group that is not using cannabis, and we'll have some equal questions to compare. So in this sense, StrainPrint is being used strictly as a database for these researchers. So it's not the patients entering the data, it's the doctors?
No, in this case, it's still patient reported.
But what
we do also do with StrainPrint is we also have a survey engine built into the platform. So what we can do is when we're doing a clinical study is, based on the number of recorded observations, as an example, I as a clinician may then say, after 10 recorded interactions for endometriosis flare, send this patient an extended questionnaire because they're part of the study. And then we'll send them an expanded questionnaire, and they can complete that questionnaire and submit it back. Okay. So depending on the way or the protocol that study wants to support, we can integrate a variety of different data capture methods.
Wonderful.
And along the way, what we do to keep patients or consumers engaged is we're rewarding them for interacting with the behavior by giving them strain points. And what they can do is they can, as they interact and build up a points balance, they get rewarded for reporting their data.
That's wonderful. Now, also, you're involved with not just that one study, there's 10 others. So briefly, what are some of the interesting things we should be...
So that's from the first one. We've also we've been academically published in the Journal of Affective Disorder, specifically looking at dosing rubrics for stress, depression, and anxiety. We have another academic paper that is going to be published within this quarter, specifically on migraines. What is the appropriate way to dose for a migraine? When that paper comes out and is published, I think it's going to be very big, based on the results that we've seen. We are also conducting a PTSD study with patients. We have an oncology study that we're working on with some folks at University Health Network, as well as a chronic pain study.
That's
also
exciting.
The University Health Network.
That's very exciting.
So yeah, it's exciting, especially when you have, schools like Duke University reaching out to you and saying, we want to work with you and figure out a way to utilize this data. So it's starting to go places, which is exciting for StrainPrint, but also for patients.
Well, for me, as
giving them a voice.
For me as a clinician, 2 years is not enough time. You guys got to be out there longer, right? I mean, I need more data.
We're not going anywhere, my friend.
I get it, but I'm truly excited for you. I'm excited for us as clinicians. I'm not directly involved with cannabis as a clinician, but I do obviously have clients that come into the room who I have to discuss cannabis with. But when this kind of data comes out, it validates for me what I think I know about cannabis, and I can only say what I think I know because there are too many Westerners out there that say we don't have enough data. Well, StrainPrint data nerds are creating the data as we go. It's quite fascinating. I'm going to just turn over to Trevor. Do you have any questions? Trevor just walked in the room halfway through, so
Hey, Trevor.
Hi, Dave. No, that was great. Like, I don't know, smiling from ear to ear. So those clinical practice guidelines is basically what you're talking about, because that's what we all want. We want someone to walk in with anxiety, depression, and for me to say, okay, well, if you've got symptom X, we should reach for strain Y. And that's what it looks like you're getting published as we speak. So phenomenally exciting.
Yeah, well, I mean, as a pharmacist, I think you'll also appreciate the challenge that cannabis poses for the retail pharmacy. So, you know, we not only talk about the challenges associated with what works for my knee inflammation or for my cluster headache or whatever the case may be. But it's a matter of if you go into a pharmacy and say to your pharmacist, you know, I want to make sure that I'm not going to have any bad interactions with the molecular drugs I'm taking, what should I do? Or, you know, someone goes in and says to the pharmacist, hey, is cannabis a viable therapy for what I'm taking this other drug for? Can you give me some advice?
Yeah, no, those are absolutely questions I get every day.
Right. So we've actually built decision support systems for the retail pharmacy industry that are actually deployed across the country. We'll be announcing sometime soon officially, but it's been up and running for a couple of months where we actually now provide decision support for pharmacists, so they can make appropriate suggestions to patients that have questions about which products they should be using.
Well, I'll just say thank you because, yeah, I get the interaction question easily once a week. And, yeah, I can dig through some literature and go, well, theoretically, this cytochrome P450 may be here. But, yeah, to have it all in one tool, that's what I have for the rest of pharmacy world, right? I've got drug interaction software I can plug things in. So, yeah, I can't a strain print drug interaction software. I'm very excited.
The other thing that I think as a pharmacist you'll be excited about is we're now starting to profile products in terms of strain sheets. So what that means is when we look at patient interaction, that's one way to look at the product. The other thing is if we spin it around and we look at a given product or a strain, what we can now do is say, what is the strain most often used for? Where does it have the highest efficacy? What is the mix between gender use? Is there a difference between what is the most effective dosing methodology? Where in the country is use of this product most prevalent? So, you know, what time of day is this product typically used? What are the reported side effects on a rated scale?
Well, that's all fantastic. So I get a 49-year-old woman with MS who walks into the pharmacy and goes, you know, my biggest problem is spasticity. I should be able to look up sort of 49-year-old woman in Manitoba with MS spasticity, and these are the most popular strains?
That's, well, not most popular.
Most effective. Yeah.
These are the ones that are most frequently used as categorized by number of patients as well as the number of recorded uses, and then the weighted average expressed as an efficacy measure so that you can tell how well it works for the given situation.
Wow. I'll turn it back to Kirk, but sorry, one last little geeky thing. So I know you guys are linking strains to patient outcomes. And like things like which terpene to a patient outcome, and those are all very exciting. What about, as I think the LPs are now having to report genetics, are you guys to the point yet of being able to link, you know, such and such batch of genetics to a patient outcome yet? Or is that kind of down the road?
That's a great question. So we are not a vendor that genetically certifies a genetic. So there's great companies out there like Blockstrain. They're a company that does that. You have companies in the U.S. as well, like Phylos Bioscience, that also take DNA of strains. I think that's very helpful to the industry, and I think we're going to see more of that come into play. That basically tells a patient or a pharmacist or a doctor that the genetics that you are using are in fact said genetics. And the reality is, We see this in the U.S. market. There's a lot of product substitution that goes on, which just would not fly in Canada. So it's important to have those measures in place and to understand the way a strain is profiled from a genetics perspective. The way we look at it is we're recording the chemical composition that you would see in a C of A. That's a certificate of authenticity or analysis. Those are the lab reports. And we're analyzing interaction with patients, not only from supplier to supplier, product to product, but we're also analyzing the differences in interaction as batches or lots change.
Oh, that's amazing.
So,
Dave.
I better turn back to Kirk. I'll take too much time. Thanks, Dave. That was fantastic. Back to Kirk.
No problem.
You know, as a data nerd, you'll get the science nerd I've got in the corner here, because it's hard to get a pharmacist excited about something. You got my buddy here just he can't stay still.
All right. It's a party now.
He just sees the science in all of this. It's fantastic. Final words, sir. We need to sum it up.
Sure.
Final words. Go ahead.
Anyone who's kind of curious, medical or otherwise, who wants to learn more about the way they can use cannabis more effectively, come on over to StrainPrint. You know, take a look at community, download the app. We're here to support you. We're patients like you, and we want to help you to live more functional lives. That's why we're here.
Kirk, I know I say it a lot, but another good one.
Another good one. Okay, everyone that's playing the Reefer Madness drinking game, have a drink.
Yeah.
Another good one.
But no, he was so good. He went over everything from endometriosis in Israel to, you know, obviously one of my favorites. I get asked about interactions in cannabis all the time. They are creating a software that's going to help me answer that question for patients.
Well, the last time I worked deeply in a relationship database was when I was doing my own master's, and the way I could correlate information, how I could take one bit of data and relate it to another bit of data, I was sitting here relating back, I guess it's almost 20 years since I did that study, my own study, is to think about how much information they have. It's only 2 years.
They're definitely going places. And I think bears repeating, though, they're working really hard on privacy of your information. They've hit all the, I don't know if you caught the alphabet soup, but he listened, but he basically hit all the pieces of legislation that you and I and all other healthcare practitioners have to follow about keeping people's information private. They hit all those too. So
the only information they have on you, if you become part of this community, is your username or your email. On the StrainPrint app, you don't have to put your name in it. You just put your email into it, your age, some demographics. They got it. So they don't even have your name. They don't have your address.
No, but just, so, you know, people worry about, you know, entering especially medical information into apps. I think StrainPrint has you covered.
Right. So, Trevor, let's talk about My Cannabis Story. You have a contest.
Yeah, we're going to run a contest with StrainPrint. So they gave us some fantastic merch. You're really going to like this stuff. And we'll give you some more details coming up. But the long and the short of it is, please give us a My Cannabis Story. You go to the website, www.reefermed.ca, record a My Cannabis Story, email it to us, use your voice memo app on your phone, keep it to about a minute. And of all the My Cannabis Stories that come in, I think we've decided we have enough merch for 3 big prizes.
Yeah, actually quite large prizes. They've been very kind. The My Cannabis Story, we're getting feedback from you on social media that you want more stories. Well, people, we can give you more stories if you give us more stories. So we're going to incentivize
you.
It. Yes, we're going to make it worthwhile for you. You're going to get some StrainPrint merch.
Or shot at it anyway.
And you're also going to get some great stories. So this is going to this is my app going off. This is going to run over a couple months. Please follow us on social media. We have Reefer Med on Instagram, Reefer Madness on Instagram,
Twitter, Facebook. And we'll post more details, but
My Cannabis Stories.
Give us a My Cannabis Story. You'll be entered in the contest.
And stay tuned. And guys, tell a friend. tell a friend about our podcast. We are still going by word of mouth. And the other thing is, if you want to help perpetuate and you think that we can offer a voice, help sponsor us and help support us. And we'll send you a package of how you can support the podcast and get some advertising for your business. It's always good to help information flow.
Absolutely. Go to the home of Reefer Madness on the web, www.reefermed.ca, for all the details. Kirk? Another good one. So music today, who are we doing?
We're going to listen to the Dust Poets. They're still within the 100-mile diet. The Dust Poets are sort of kind of in Onono, where the major lead singer-songwriter lives. And people that know our district will know Michael's Bookstore.
Poor Michael's.
Poor Michael's Bookstore. So the album is Love Sick Town, and the song is Walk Away, the Dust Poets. Thank you, Trevor Schufelt, the pharmacist.
Thank you, Kirk Nyquist, the nurse.
This has been fun.
From the city of sunshine, Dauphin, Manitoba.
Produced by the Parkland Poet.
Out on the edge of town, everything's on the edge of town. Box stores, they are piling up. How I wish I could knock them down. Give them a coat. Give them a room to roll, bulldoze in the greenery, make perfect lawns, big hair salons, kings, queens, and pawns, in a world gone wrong. Walk away, walk away, walk away. Sand in the clouds. Garden gnomes by the fishing shack. Three-car garage with a house attached. Neighborhoods in psychic flames, from an outbreak of being the same. There's so much less to this than meets the eye. There's so much bliss to miss, but we'll get by.
Well, we're still in the 100 mile diet, 100 kilometer diet. We're going to listen to the Dust Poets album, Walk Away, and the song is Love Sick Town. Now, for those that live, sorry?
The song is Walk Away, the album is Love Sick Town. One more time.
Never mind. Yes. Yes. Take two.